Blog Talk Radio.
The new edition of the No Romance Without Finance show. So let's start this on the right side. I did it. This is the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio, and I can do that. Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show, and yes, you are listening to The Hustle. That's right. Today's show is entitled The Righteous Hustle. You know how we do on No Romance Without Finance. We are talking strictly business. We're going to be focused on getting your hustle on. I know I spent a lot of time last year, 2012, talking about business being more than a hustle, but we are in survival mode. So sit back, relax, get ready to learn the hottest, newest line dance of 2013, The Righteous Hustle. All right. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio, the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host. My name is Vernon Muhammad. I thank you for joining me. Welcome aboard. Much success, peace, and blessings to you in the year 2013. I want to greet you all in peace as we normally do. Assalamu alaikum. I'm so glad to be here on a Sunday evening talking about the serious subject of business, of finance, of personal economics. But I wanted to do it on a particular note because today we're going to talk about a subject that I typically like to stay away from. Everybody knows that when it comes to business, when it comes to economics, I try to take it to a very, very professional level. I try to take it up a notch from where we're used to operating, where we're comfortable functioning. And I make a big distinction between hustling, which is just doing whatever you can do to make a buck here or there, taking advantage of whatever opportunity you can find, and a big distinction between hustling and business, actual entrepreneurship. Now, there's some areas where the two, there's a fine line, you know, there's a lot of gray area. You can say that they're both one and the same, but then again, there is a difference in approach between hustling and someone who is in business for themselves. As a matter of fact, Robert Kiyosaki, as I always like to point to, makes a distinction. He does it in totally different language. He doesn't call it a hustler, but he says there's the self-employed individual who works for him or herself, who has a business or operates an endeavor. But if that person decided to sleep for the day, if that person got sick and couldn't work for the day, or for some reason that person just could not get the job done, then that business, that endeavor, makes no money and goes nowhere. That's a hustle. If you don't get out there on the block, if you don't set up your vending stand, if you don't bake your pies and sell them yourself, it's not going to get sold. You're not going to get the money that you need, and your business is going to turn out to not be much of a business at all. Whereas if you go to the level of an actual business, which is a collection of systems that are in place so that any one individual person doesn't necessarily need to be involved in order for the systems to keep operating, that's a true and living business. So when I talk about a righteous hustle, I'm not talking about what we are used to, what we know as, you know, being out on the block or doing what we can to make a dime. But we stand here in 2013 facing a whole new reality. I don't know if you've been paying close attention to the political climate, to the economic climate, to the talk of what's going on with the federal budget, but there's a lot on the table, a lot at stake. And the need now for everybody to do something for themselves should be more apparent than it has ever been before. If you do not get yourself in gear, if you do not get yourself ready to move to the left and get paid or move to the right and get paid, slide back and jump forward 3 steps and get that money, you're going to find yourself without. So it's time for us to learn the steps of the righteous hustle. I want you all to sit back, get ready to enjoy a wonderful conversation. And as a matter of fact, I want to ask you to start off by doing a favor. If you're listening to this live, which I certainly hope and pray that there are quite a few of us who are going to join, share this on your Facebook page, share this on your Twitter stream, share it wherever you can and let others know about what information we're going to be talking about here today. Time for everybody to get introduced to the righteous hustle. So let's get it started. I'm on the air with my good brother, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How you doing?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I'm fine. All praises due to Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. Thank you for asking me on, brother.
Yes, indeed. I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to be with me, brother. Did I take you back when I played the song, The Hustle?
Oh, yes, sir, most definitely. Most definitely is putting me in mind of my younger brother, who is also an entrepreneur, businessman. That was his favorite song when he was little. Only he interpreted it as "Do the Hot Sauce."
Do the Hot Sauce.
Yes, sir.
I understand, brother. I understand. If that was my favorite song, I would try to pawn it off on my brother, too. It's okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, brother, I want to welcome you into the threshold of a brand new year, brother. We're not in the tradition of the revelry of the change from one year to the next. You know, our typical salutation isn't necessarily Happy New Year. I wish you many blessings and much success from our Creator as we move forward throughout this year. But I hope that we're going forward with our eyes open and very much in tune to the time and what must be done so that we can make it through this year, because we've been reminded over and over and over again. There are some people who finished out 2012 or were headed to finish out 2012 and did not wake up to see 2013.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, absolutely.
And I'm praying for much success for you and your family and all your endeavors, and looking forward to having this conversation and learning a little bit more about the righteous hustle and how business and our outlook on business today and this year forward has to be different than what it was in the past.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I thank you for that, and I also desire for you and your family and all of those listening, you notice the language, a lot of the language that's been used about this new time. There was a lot of talk last year about the Mayan calendar and the end of the world and things of that nature. And in line with that, exactly, for me, in line with that, when you, like you say, the righteous hustle, I just want to go back a little bit where you were talking about the difference between a hustle and a business, or even someone who's self-employed, you know, and an actual business. And as you did explain, the difference is that when I'm in business or when any of us is in business, we're not simply supplying our own personal needs, and as well as the business not being dependent upon an individual to keep it running, it moves out of the realm of just being self-employed as to being an entity that supplies the needs of at least 5 or more individuals.
Mm.
You know, that's where it moves at. Now, when we look at that word hustle, you know, I just wanted to, if you go to Webster, you know, he all right.
Mm.
And, Webster says this about hustle. He says, to jostle, shove, that's the first definition. The second definition means to hasten or hurry. The third definition it gives for hustle is to work energetically. Mm. And see, what I found is that oftentimes the way we look at words is the connotation that we've been given by the society.
Right.
Now, when you look back on any business that exists today, whether that be Procter & Gamble, pardon me, whether that be Chrysler, Ford, Cadillac, whoever, mm-hmm. they started as a hustle. What happened is over time, they evolved into what we were talking about just a minute ago, an entity that supplies the needs of many as opposed to the needs of one individual, and it became self-sustaining. For example, today, like you were saying, if I'm just self-employed and I've got what I call a business, which is but it remains a hustle in that sense that if I don't get up and do something, if I don't get out, go get the customers, get the work done, nothing happens. If it remains that way, then yes, for our needs as a people, and really for the needs of humanity today, it becomes useless. It has to, anybody who is in business or even thinking about business has to move into what they've been talking about, the new paradigm. In other words, that new way of thinking that I'm not just here to make money. I'm not getting into business to make money. The idea is that if I'm going to survive and then grow into a true business, I need to be getting into business to actually provide a service. That needs to be uppermost in my mind. I mean, of course, we get into business. We desire to make money. Money is part of it. But the only reason we need to make money is because at the current time, money is what drives the system.
Mm.
I remember in the last conversation you and I had, we made mention of a time bank and cooperative economics.
Right.
You know, and see, the thing is those systems or that system is a lot better because, for one thing, it does not allow for anyone else to make a slave of someone else.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've often asked the question of people. I ask them this all the time. I ask them, I say, why is money so important to you? And usually the response is, well, because you need money to pay your bills, and I've got to have money to get food, and you know, you need money because, you know, you want the finer things in life. Well, let's see.
General and vague answers if you listen to them and think about them.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Very general and very vague because, honestly, majority of people do not have a clue. Then the next question I ask them is, well, what is it that you have to give up to get money? And usually you hear the crickets because they, I got to go to work. Well, yeah, that's part of it. But the most important thing is that I have to give up what I was taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is really the only thing that we have, is time.
Mm.
I got to give up my time. In other words, I have to give up a portion of my life, which I cannot get back. That's why the money is important, because it represents my time.
Mm.
You know, and so yeah, I'm really glad that you chose this subject, a righteous hustle, because that's what it has to be. In other words, I do have to be willing to do whatever is necessary to implement a plan which will help to build a system which will be beneficial not only to myself, but to all those around me.
You got it. You got it. You hit the nail right on the head. You know, as we have these conversations, as we do these shows, what I hope we can do is start to raise questions, and not just for the sake of, you know, having conversation and raising questions, but I want to put something on the minds of our listeners so that we can really start to find answers to these questions. What would you do? Or how could you get all the things that you need to have without money? How could you do that? And how could you implement? What would you have to do to implement those ideas and those solutions this year so that we can end 2013 free from the trappings that go along with our quest to have our needs fulfilled? You know, you say, what do you have to give up in order to get money? You know what another thing people have to give up is? They have to give up the idea that the only way to get something of value is if you have money.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's why I'm glad that you reminded me and brought up the idea of what we talked about on previous shows, the whole time banking and bartering. If you get creative, you know, we've had guests on this show that have actually thought outside the box and addressed coming up with solutions to our needs. You know, right away my mind goes to Brother Dawood from St. Louis, who actually retrofits buildings, churches, mosques, schools, so that they are solar, so that they are able to run on solar energy as opposed to being tied in to the electric grid. Now, you think, one of the reasons I work, I need to have money to pay the light bill. Well, what if there's a way for you to circumvent that and no longer need to pay anybody else for electricity, for power, for heating and cooling for your home? What if that's a solution that you can put in place? What if a solution to put in place is you don't necessarily have to pay rent? Can you imagine in 2013 it'll be possible to live rent-free? How can you do that? Those are things that we need to ask and seriously search for the answers for, because the answers are out there. We have those discussions. We talk about how a community would come together and take care of the needs of everybody in that community. And we know, I'm so glad that we were having that conversation last year, because as we start this year, more and more and more, the people who are out in front of us are starting to have that conversation and put it out on Front Street so that it's on the mind of every one of us. So hopefully now that, you know, the right people are talking about it and saying the same things that we've been saying all along, we'll start to get more people on board, and we'll really start to see a movement take place among among our people. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that. That's why I said we're standing at the threshold of something big as we begin 2013.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Did you get a chance to hear the interview that was done by Minister Farrakhan last night?
No, sir, but I haven't had a chance to check it out. I was actually working myself. However, I am, believe me, when we get finished, I will be online looking at the archives.
Oh, brother. it was so amazing. I'm really excited and I'm honored to know that we are right on time with the type of things that we're talking about, you know. The idea that doing for self is more important now than it has been ever before.
Yes, sir.
The idea that we're gonna almost be forced to do something for ourselves, because what has worked for us, what we've put our security in, our false sense of security in, whether it's a job, whether it's a 401k or a pension or whatever it is that you think is just automatically coming to you and has been automatically coming to you and is just going to keep on automatically coming to you, really is in jeopardy. And if you look at what's going on with the, you know, Congress and the president, and they're talking about the fiscal cliff, you know, everybody said, oh, they solved that problem. No, they put a stopgap in place because in a couple of months they're going to be talking about that again. You know, the ability of them to put in place permanent solutions, they don't have that ability anymore. So all they have permanent problems that they can put Band-Aids and temporary solutions on. So whatever it is that you have your hopes on, that you've become so comfortable with, you know, job stability, security, any of that, it's time to really start thinking outside the box. And that message is starting to be drilled home more and more and more. And that's pretty much the crux of what I got out of last night's interview. So you can check it out for yourself. And I'd love to talk to you about that after you get a chance to see that for yourself too.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, that's absolutely correct. I mean, and it's a beautiful thing. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan constantly shows us why he's called, among other things, a divine reminder. Because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us these things. He told us for years. He said that they're going to drop you. He kept preaching to us and preaching to us to do for self. And as you said, so many of us have become dependent on this system. I want to share something from Message to the Black Man. It's out of the economic program. It's on page 195. Would be 1, 2, 3. Starting, I guess, the fourth paragraph. It starts like this. It says, how to make an economic program successful. It says, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, it is very hard for an economist to plan a wise program and see his plans carried out because the so-called American Negro's economics are controlled by the white man. The white man owns the country and the industry. He is manufacturer and producer of everything. Now, it is difficult to plan an economic program for a dependent people who for all their lives have tried to live like the white man. The first step the so-called Negro wage earners should take is to spend only when necessary and according to their income. They should save as much of their salaries as possible weekly, biweekly, or monthly. We as wage earners should always plan to save something from whatever we are paid. Do not become extravagant spenders like the rich who own the country and everything in it. It is sheer ignorance for us to try to compete in luxury with the owners. And then the messenger goes on into how we could save. I wanted to share that in line with what you were just saying, because it's not like we literally are being forced. See, we were told, if you remember the story of the dry bones in Ezekiel.
Right. I've been hearing that more and more lately.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, remember, first the Son of Man was told to teach or to prophesy unto the dry bones,
right,
which we've had now for over 80 years, you know, when you include the whole of the time of the Nation of Islam. And it said that when they were preached to, they rose up and sinews came on them, but they still did nothing.
Mm.
So then the Son of Man was told to prophesy unto the winds.
Right.
And said that when the winds came, then they rose up and exceedingly great army. You know, and that's what's happening to us. We have become, in our mentality, so crisis-oriented. In other words, the only time we will even do anything is when it actually gets down to, at that moment, it threatens our life at that immediate moment.
Mm.
It goes back to also when you study and read the story of Moses or Musa in the Bible and the children of Israel. If you remember, it says that Moses prayed to Jehovah to harden the heart of Pharaoh. He prayed to Jehovah even more so, though, but the prayer, the crux of the prayer, was that he would bring his power to bear and break Pharaoh's wealth, because the slaves were so enamored with Pharaoh's wealth. And that's the position that we have been placed in now. No one that is dependent, just as you said, no one that is dependent on this system, which is not dying but is already dead, it's a carcass, will survive. They will not survive. We see it every day. We're seeing it right now. Look at some of the people, when you talk to them or associate with them, even their language shows that they are dead. I mean, even in the entertainment industry, if you look at it, most of the movies that come out now, okay, and I'm not talking about this this new cartoon that got out. I won't even mention its name.
It's a cartoon.
it was jangling or something. I don't know. The new Bojangles or something. Anyway, but if you notice, most of the movies that come out that become popular, are all these movies are about zombies.
Mm-hmm.
This class of walking dead individuals,
right,
who want to feed on the living. And I mean, literally, this is what we've got. The only way, the only individuals, the only people that I'm seeing who are actually not just surviving, but beginning to move forward and actually beginning to thrive, are those who have taken on the mindset of independence, who have begun to work literally without money. To give you an example, I recently had a situation where I lost my vehicle.
Okay.
Right. Now, in my line of business, a vehicle is a must. Got to have a vehicle.
Right.
However, here's a brother. Brother's name is Henry Broussard, very good brother. He had been trying to get he and I together to work together. He owns a lot of property. He works in real estate. He does construction himself too. And he had been trying to get us together to work together for a number of years now. And the circumstances, the circumstances were there very, very plainly for me to be honest. I was so tunnel visioned on money. See, I have to be real. I have to be honest, because honesty is what gets us through. I was so tunnel visioned on the money aspect of it, I couldn't see the full benefit. Well, the circumstances came around where now I was in a position of no vehicle. I got this. I got jobs out there that need to be done. I got product needs to be delivered. Okay, what am I going to do? And this brother called me very recently. And then he and I, now I'm in a position where now I'm humble enough. I'm more palatable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that because, like I said, about breaking the staff of Pharaoh's wealth,
right,
so that I'm no longer enamored with it. Now I can see that he and I are now working together. Okay, and my bills are paid.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? My business is moving forward, and he and I are not exchanging one piece of paper.
Wow.
And that type of thinking, exactly what you're talking about, that's what we have to do. Like you said with Brother Daoud, we got to think outside the box. We have to stop looking at well, it's going to cost me X amount of dollars. Well, so what? You was going to blow that anyway on some foolishness. Go on and spend that money and get yourself solar, because now you're independent.
Hmm. You know what? I've come to the realization that when money comes, you're going to spend it on something.
Yes,
it's
sir.
It's going to be spent. It's going to be spent. If you do nothing, if you don't think about it too much, And if you, you know, are careless, it's going to be spent on something that probably is going to do you no good. It's going to leave you short in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to look around and not realize where it went, realize that what you got really was not worth the money that you spent. And you really going to realize how much you shortchanged yourself after the fact. And it's so, I think it's so apropos that you, you know, went to that section of the book, Message to the Black Man. I was almost surprised and shocked myself to find that that is in Message to the Black Man. For the last week, I've been talking about financial planning and, you know, what information financial experts can share. And I've been quoting Robert Kiyosaki and Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey and all these people. You mean to tell me that what you read just now, just a few minutes ago, came out of Message to the Black Man?
Yes, sir.
By the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from Sandersville, Georgia, of the Nation of Islam?
That's right.
That sounds like some really good financial and economic information right there. Maybe people need to take a second look at that.
Yes, sir, that's right.
No doubt. Message to the Black Man. You can find it at store.finalcall.com. I'll plug that one, no doubt about it. That
yes, sir.
Very, very timely information. And I'm telling you, we would likely pay all this money to Robert Kiyosaki for his financial economic coaching program, or pay $150 a month to Dave Ramsey or whomever. It's amazing the blessing and the wealth of information and resources, far-reaching resources that we were given right through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the guidance that we're getting today in the modern day and time from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Alhamdulillah.
We are really, really blessed. We're really blessed. But you are so on point, brother, that we have to begin thinking outside of the box if we're going to survive. Survival is a whole different ball game than just living. You know how to say, who is that? Stevie Wonder had a song, Living Just Enough for the City.
Yes, sir.
That really is not enough now. You know, the time, the winds are going to change. And being all right, you know, when you're out telling the final call, you get some different responses and whatnot. People don't just say no anymore. They say, no, I'm all right.
Uh-huh.
Say, no, I'm good. You know, that's okay. if they do say no, they're polite with it. They say, no, thank you. You know, because, you know, I already got what I need. But you are so right. You know, it's a different ball game when your survival is at stake. And
yes,
the thing that I've seen over the past couple of years is there's like a couple, there's a, you know, 2 or 3 year lag time between things when I hear that I've heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say,
yes,
and when the reality of it smacks you in your face. Now, it was 2 years ago, well, going on 3 years ago now, at the Holy Day of Atonement in Philadelphia, where we heard him say, our survival as a people is at stake. He said that in Philadelphia at the Holy Day of Atonement, when he said also, business is warfare. And if you haven't realized it, we are at war. Then he went on to say, our survival as a people is at stake. That was 2 years ago, going on 3 years ago. So we know that when he puts the word out there like that, when a message like that drops, we're really not, you know, it's not just idle words. It's not just stuff you hear and it's like, oh, yeah, he said that, move on. It's been a couple of years, and we're at that point now. We can see it. We can see the wind kicking up. You know, at a certain point in time, you know, you can't see the air blowing around you, but at a certain point in time, you can literally see what's being blown around in the air.
Yes.
You can tell that something is about to come. It's getting more and more and more apparent that the economic climate in this country is changing, and it's changing rapidly. And I'm thankful and I'm glad that you who are listening to the No Romance Without Finance show and us who are going to be embarking on this journey together, we're going to start taking steps and making moves so that our spring is better than today and our summer is better than the spring of 2013, and by the time we get to the fall we're going to, inshallah, hopefully be in a much, much better position to take care of ourselves and take care of each other, because I don't think that the way this picture looks at the end of this year is going to be anywhere near the way this picture looks at the beginning of this year. So we are right on point and right on time. And I want to share something that will really kick us into the conversation that I want us to have tonight. I was speaking with a friend of mine who also is an entrepreneur. He's a he's an occupational therapist. He's an independent contractor, okay? So he works with different hospitals, works with different medical clinics and facilities to help people who've had stroke or whatever their particular ailment or condition is. You know, if they've lost functionality, he does the necessary work and therapy with them to get them back on point, you know, back using their muscles and their limbs and their fine and gross motor skills and things like that. But he started this endeavor. He stepped out there on his own in 2007, and I wanted him to be on tonight, but he's actually driving back to New York, so he can't make it with us. But I was asking him about what is a vital ingredient, you know, what do you need in order to do that, you know, to really get out there and be a hustler, you know. And I wouldn't necessarily think of him as a hustler in the way that we used it in 2012, but for the purposes of this show and for the purposes of this point forward, when I say hustle, hustling, being a hustler, it means being hungry, being a go-getter, having to go. I like doing these old-school references, to have the eye of a tiger, to have that fire in your belly, as he says. You got to be hungry, and you got to think not just an I'm good, it's all right, you know, I'm all right type of mentality, but you got to have a survival mentality, a survival. My survival is at stake. If I don't do this, then a whole lot of people are going to suffer because I'm not on my grind. I'm not hustling. I'm not up and at them. I'm not taking care of business to move from just what I can do and what I can affect on to setting up systems that are actually going to impact me, my community, my nation. That's the thinking and the mindset that we have to have, according to the conversation I was having with him and what has sustained him from 2007 on to now, where he's not thinking about going back to a job. He's not thinking about, you know, filling out a W-2. He's not thinking about punching somebody's clock and you got to be here at this time or else you're going to lose your job. He runs his own destiny. You know, he controls what he's going to do for that day and what he's not going to do for that day. And he knows that if I don't do anything today, then I'm going to eventually get to a day when I can't eat or it's going to be more difficult for me to eat. So he doesn't mind putting the grind in because he knows he is in control. And he takes control and he does what is necessary to keep him and his family and his household running. So that is one of the key and prime ingredients that I'm going to drill home over and over and over and over again throughout this year. We got to have our minds right. We got to have our spirits right. We got to have the motivation to accomplish and achieve what we know we have to in order to survive. And I'm using that specific language because I really believe our survival is now at stake. No more I'm fine, no more business as usual. So that's where I'm coming from, Brother Kareem. I hope I didn't scare you with that.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. I'm all ears and hands and feet ready to roll because our survival is at stake. That's exactly what it is.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me put this out there, brother, and then I'm going to ask you to come on into the conversation and actually share some of your thoughts and some of your approach that hopefully we can inspire and educate some of our listeners to take up. Let me share this with you. One of the things that I want to leave people with from this show and for this month in January, as I said earlier, I want to begin to raise questions about actual situations that need solutions. And I want to raise the question so that more than just me or me and you are thinking about it, but if we can get more minds thinking about how we do what we're going to be talking about doing today, how we can implement this, I think we'll move closer to the goal quicker than if it just stays in my head or if it just stays as a conversation between you and me. So here's question number one. Just to put it in realistic and, you know, attainable terms, okay? One of right in line with what you read from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about, you know, saving something. If you know that you're working and you're a wage earner, you know, it would make sense to save up a little bit, you know. Constantly pay yourself first. We've heard it put that way, but put some money to the side. You're going to need that at a certain point in time. You're going to need that later on. I've heard Dave Ramsey say, look, in this game plan and the plan to get yourself to financial recovery and, you know, rebuild or build from this point forward, whatever it is that you're trying to do, first thing that you need to do is start an emergency fund of $1,000. Now, for some, that might be small change. That might seem like it's not going to do anything. But like I said, I wanted to make it tangible and attainable. And it might not be so far-fetched because, according to statistics, the average per capita net worth for black people in America, for black adults, if I'm not mistaken, is well under $5,000. So that means the average black person, if you added up all that they have in terms of assets and wealth and savings and anything else, the average, you may get about $5,000. That means the majority may be a lot less, and you have a few that are a little bit more than that, but not much. The vast majority of us have a net worth of $5,000 or less. So a major, major step. And because we're thinking survival is at stake, what is the fastest way, the fastest legal way, let me say that. What is the fastest? You got to put a disclaimer out there, right, brother? What is the fastest legal way that you can make $1,000 and hold $1,000 in savings so that if you ran into an emergency, if you need to get out of town by sundown, if you got to fix the transmission, whatever it is you got to do, everybody should think about how can I now put an adequate emergency fund in place for me and for my family. So that's number one. Let me throw that out there, and let's take a break right now because we want to make sure we come back and hear a word from my sponsor. And then I want to jump into the rest of the conversation with my good brother, Kareem. You up for that, brother Kareem?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we will get back into the conversation. Finance Show. We just came back from a break. I'm glad that you are listening to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Nation Building Network. We're so proud to be involved in some of the great things that Nation Building is doing, and we're proud of our sponsor. For those of you who don't know, there is a wonderful, wonderful endeavor and movement that's taking place throughout communities in America. It's called the Economic Freedom Movement. A company is building from the bottom up. It's starting right in the communities that need economic opportunity the most, and it's starting with something that every one of us needs and use just about every day, bathroom tissue. And the company I'm talking about is Freedom Paper Company. Yes, there's a black-owned, black-operated brand of bathroom tissue, paper towels, and other personal and commercial paper goods. So if you go to school, if you have a child that goes to school, if you go to a daycare, if you run a daycare, if you go to church, if you go to a mosque, if you go to any place that has a bathroom, and if you use bathroom tissue, I would invite you to join on to the Economic Freedom Movement. Check out www.freedompapercompany.com. Let's all support a business that is going to support communities that we are involved in all across America, and that is definitely going to give back to causes that we all care about and that we all love. So freedompapercompany.com, buy Freedom Bathroom Tissue, support your own, and let's do what we need to do for ourselves. Now, my good brother Kareem, you still there with me?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, good brother. I appreciate you being there. Sister Gidget, I believe, is also on the line. Good Sister Gidget, are you with us this evening?
Yes, sir, I am. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam. So good to have you near, sister. How are you feeling?
I am blessed by Allah's permission. It's been a busy and productive day, and all I can say is that my heart is full of joy, and all praise is due to Allah.
We say you got heartburn.
I said my heart is full of joy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that I'm glad to hear. I'm certainly happy about that. Welcome to 2013, my sister. You know you are in my heart and in my prayers, and I wish you all the best of success. This year we have a lot on the agenda, and I know that you are going to be getting your righteous hustle on because you kind of set the tone and set the pace. So a lot of us are going to have to run and do some real quick sliding to keep up with you.
Well, you know, it's all about us preparing for the new world order. And in order to do that, we can't dwell in old behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been long warned by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that this time would come. And so now we're at the point of the time and what must be done. So we have to be proactive about our finances and about our nation and about our families. And, you know, we've had this teaching for over 80 years, and so we need to be better prepared than we are today. But, inshallah, with a little grace and mercy, we'll get it done.
There you go. I like to hear you talk like that. That's very reassuring to hear you come from that perspective, sis.
Yes,
I tell
sir.
You what. We're not in the habit of making resolutions, New Year's resolutions. People don't really have the right ingredients in their mind to make and keep resolutions. But one thing that we do want to do, and one thing that we have been doing, what's on my mind right now is to share something with the people who are in the listening audience that may not necessarily be part of the Nation of Islam. I know there's odd for us at times to think that we're talking to people who are not Muslims or, you know, are not in the mosque with us, but we have friendship in all walks of life. So people who listen to the Nation Building Network, people who listen to the No Romance Without Finance show, come from various schools of thought, come from various faith traditions. Some of them are non-religious at all. So we span a lot of different territories when we're out speaking, and we have to be responsible for that. So I want to invite, number one, everyone to pay attention this year to a special series of messages that are going to be coming out, 52-week series, once a week, The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to be sharing insights about this year that we've just entered into. And if you heard my intro to the show tonight, you know that we're on the threshold. I'm going to keep drilling this home. We're really looking at a change from the old to the new. Sister Gidget just reiterated it, and Brother Kareem and I just spent the first half an hour of the show kind of talking about how the old way of thinking, the old way of operating, and what was good enough before this year started is certainly not good enough now. So we want to make sure that we're tuning our minds up to what's going to be forward thinking, what's going to help to get us ahead of the curve and on point and in line with the time that we're facing. So I invite all of you who are listening, whether you're listening live or listening to the archive, every Saturday evening to check out NOI.org for a special message of insight and guidance that's going to come from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that's what we're going to be basing a lot of our conversations on from the No Romance Without Finance show over the course of the coming year. I think the title or theme of that 52-week lecture series is the time and what must be done. So you'll find that as we have these conversations on this show, we really are right on time and right on point. Sister Gidget, I wanted to throw out there some of the action items and points that I hope to see people begin to move themselves towards over the course of this year, so that as we look at ourselves, you know, now in the beginning of January, on into the spring, and as we get to the summer and later on in the year, we can really find ourselves really making movement, making motion to put ourselves in a better position. So that means at a certain point in time, you're going to need to look to relocate. That's what you have to do. If that means at a certain point in time, you're going to have to put another 5, 6, 8 hours a day into working on a project or working on something that's going to benefit you and your family above and beyond your job, then that's what we're going to be putting out there. That's what we're going to have to ask you to do. That's what the righteous hustle is about. You know, it's nothing bad. It's nothing that you shouldn't be involved in or that you should have a problem with, but it's something that's definitely going to keep you moving rapidly and working hard in your own best interest and in the best interest of those people and those things that you care the most about. So that eye of the tiger, that fire inside the belly, that spirit and that mindset that's going to get us over the hump, that has always been the desire and the valuable final product that we wanted from those dry bones in the valley. We wanted them to get up and move and, you know, actually take action as opposed to just rattle and shake and roll. We want to move ourselves into a whole new reality. This is the year to do it. We don't just want it to be a paradigm shift anymore and a new way of thinking, but we got to start there with thinking and with the mindset and get ourselves in action. So the first step, I don't know if you were on to hear this, but the first step in that game plan is to put together an emergency savings fund. Something that very few people actually have in place. One of the things that hustlers don't believe in is living from paycheck to paycheck. Because hustlers don't believe in checks. They know that they got to get money now, and 5 minutes from now, you're going to ask them, what you doing? They're going to be trying to get paid. Okay? So it's not about a paycheck. They're not waiting for next Friday. They're not waiting for what somebody said is going to be in the account. Move to the left, get paid, slide back, get that money. Do what you have to do, legally, of course, to get yourself in a better financial position, and that is the first step and the first place to start right there. Get that emergency fund in place and ready. Now,
yes,
Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to get Sister Gidget up to speed real quick, though. Brother Kareem,
yes,
as
sir.
You, I know that you've got a good history as it relates to being an entrepreneur and doing for yourself. You said that you've been working at Ventures for yourself for the last 22 years or so?
I'm sorry, you said I've been working now what now?
You've been working for yourself at your own business and your own ventures for what, the last 22 years?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Mm.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Sorry, I just took a little swig of water. Tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what your mindset was, what some of the things you faced were when you first stepped out there to do business for yourself, and talk to us a little bit about the mindset that you want to have now and that we hope will spread among those who are listening to us, because this is what it takes if we're talking about being in a survival frame of mind. What's the mindset that you had to be in if you started before, and what's the mindset that you have to be in now to make progress, to make strides, to advance, and to survive in this particular climate?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I mean, when I started, I mean, relatively speaking, it was really, if you had the correct mindset, which I'll get into in just a second, it was relatively easy. The mindset I started with was the fact that, like I said, I had an idea where, well, I'm tired of working for other people. I mean, I couldn't see all the, as you were just talking about, all the hours that I was putting in, sometimes working 16-hour shifts, and what I was getting for that, you know, what it was producing for me, it just was not satisfactory. So my mindset back then was, I want to maximize my benefit from my effort. That was my mindset. I want to maximize my benefit from my effort. You know, in other words, pretty much it was, I don't want to be a slave anymore, because I had always been raised to do for self. However, I did have the understanding, my mother gave me the understanding, that in order to do for self, sometimes you're going to have to work for somebody else first to develop the seed money, to get what you need to put yourself forward. And so another aspect of my thinking is because back during that time, having been raised in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, I had that as my foundation. And so, however, I was introduced to other things like Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking. There's another author, I can't think of his name right now, is a book that says The Power of the Subconscious Mind. Then you had Andrew Carnegie's book, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. All these books I was introduced to, and I did an extensive study of them, and I internalized that information. And one thing I saw that was in all of them, the bottom line is exactly what you will find in the Bible, where it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. They turned it around and said that you got to eat, think, sleep, you know, drink. In other words, whatever your goal is, it has to be all that there is in your mind for you to achieve your goal. And that's what worked coming through in that time. Now, in this time, with the time being so short, and we are literally, as you mentioned earlier, this is strictly survival, all right, surviving and building into the new world, actually building the new world, because that's what we are about. At this point, yes, I have to live, breathe, think, sleep, eat what my goal is. However, my motivation now is different. First and foremost, my motivation is to serve Almighty God. That's my motivation. In other words, everything I do has to please the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Otherwise, I will not be, it will not be successful. Now,
keep in mind that the Creator has a master plan, and you got to be operating within that master plan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Now, since my Creator at this point is not face to face with me in that sense, how do I operate according to that plan? Well, we've been given instructions, been given all kinds of instructions. I would like to just actually share something very quickly, you know, because I mean, I never take credit for what's not mine. And since everything belongs to the Creator, you know, I can't take credit for it. However, in the book, The Restrictive Law of Islam is Our Success by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan,
You'll notice on page 21, and it will be in the second paragraph, it reads like this. It says, the restrictive law of Islam is what ensures our success. If the Savior said luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life, and then he came to raise us to eminence where people would literally bow their heads to a Muslim who is really practicing and studying and sharing their knowledge, then your fame increases by degree and you grow in rank. And if you stay within the limits of the law, you will have a favorable and satisfactory outcome. Now, that being the case, and as you said, you know, we have those who are listening in our listening audience who are not necessarily in the nation and not necessarily Muslims. Well, you had asked the question before about the putting together the $1,000 safety net, $1,000 emergency fund. What I do is based literally out of the Bible, and I don't know if a lot of people know where the idea of tithing or tithing, depending upon, you know, who you're talking to, came from. Originally, that came from the farmers, because if you remember, most of them were agrarian. It was agrarian society. And what you would do is you made sure that when you harvested, the first part of the harvest you took seed and put it away so you had seed to plant again next season. So when we came into a monetary system where currency began to be used, then they said, well, you need to give 10%. Well, I have taken it on myself under my understanding of the scripture that since this body, according to the scripture, is the temple of the living God, then the first 10% I need to take and set aside is for the God in me. And that's how I've have built up my emergency fund. You know, it's just real simple. And like you said, we're told, pay yourself first. You know, and so that's the thing. However, the Elijah Muhammad gives us a message to the black man, and of course the figures have to be adjusted today for inflation. He talks about how if we save the nickel every day out of our daily pay. Well, in 2013, I know for myself there are certain things that I might purchase that I don't necessarily need. One of the first things I have done is begin to discipline myself and say, well, okay, I don't need that. And so now each and every day, in other words, out of every dime that I make, literally, I pull 10% or more, but at least 10%, and I put that to the side and I don't touch it.
How long did it take you to get into that discipline of doing that? Or was that something that always came natural to you?
It took me, to be very honest, there was a period in my life where I was very extravagant. I mean, I spent like there was no tomorrow, to be honest. It took me a period of 3 years to actually get the discipline down where now it's not even a thought. Because there would be times where I put the money together, and then, of course, I would see something, and there the money would go. I mean, I'm just being, you know, being real, because we need to know these things. We need to know these things.
Right.
These things can happen. However, it took me a period of 3 years to actually, well now it's a set discipline. When I put money to the side, I don't touch it. Because that money has a set purpose and a set plan. And that's one of the many things. And I wanted to share this. If you notice, as far as getting into the correct mindset, when you look at the book, Message to the Black Man, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you've got, he starts out and he gives us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He gives us 6 whole chapters before he even gets into economics, because he's laying the base in our mind for the type of mind we would need to even be able to be effective economically.
Wow. You don't get into economics.
Well, I'm not just trying to say something that sounds good when I'm saying get your mind right, get into the right mindset so that taking these steps and taking the actions that later on in the year we're going to ask people to take, I'm not really just blowing smoke. That's a real deal, right way to go about doing this.
Right. Yes, sir. Absolutely. I mean, I could, a conversation that I had with Queen Gidget very recently, and in that conversation, it came up that a fool and his money are soon parted. But there's a reason for that statement. Because if I'm a fool, meaning that my thinking is not correct, that in this day and time, that my thinking is not that one of independence, one of service to God and humanity, one that's about this new world that we're building, then you could give me $1 trillion. And it would only be a matter of days for some, a matter of minutes before it's all gone. And as you said earlier, I've spent it or wasted it on something that has no value to me. I've got no benefit from.
Right. So we really have to re-educate ourselves on what is good for us and what is not good for us. We're just used to spending, you know. We're just used to taking in things. It's just like eating, you know. People are just used to eating it because it fits in their mouth. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's something that's good for you, something that's going to be beneficial and healthy for you. So we've got to spend some time really, really educating ourselves on what is going to be beneficial and helpful in moving us from point A to point B as we work out our game plan. And that needs to be the crux of where our energy and where our resources are going to go. Right on point.
Absolutely.
We got for those of you who are listening out there, if you want to join in on the conversation, the call-in number is 646-716-5971. We have one caller that just joined us. I'm going to bring caller from 678 area code. Your microphone is open. Please introduce yourself.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Who's this?
This is Sister Keisha from Atlanta.
Oh, how delightful.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam.
I wanted to chime in with the conversation about the emergency fund. It's imperative that we all have one. The thing is, you have to brace for sickness, any type of emergency that happens, by also putting different streams of income in place, because your emergency fund can just go away and you're not able to replenish as quickly as you should in order to brace for the next emergency. So we have to also get in the mindset of formulating different streams of income that are passive, that we don't necessarily have to put our hands on to generate so much money coming in to brace us for those emergencies.
Now, you just threw some lingo in there that some people may be familiar with and some people may not be familiar with. And some people have used the idea in the term of passive income, but they have it totally wrong. So why don't you tell us what you mean when you say passive income?
Something that it kind of runs by itself. Something that you don't, I mean, you have to monitor it, but it's nothing that you're like going out to get it. It's not like a second job where you have to physically be there to generate the income. Something that you're investing in, something that's generating you so much money a month, maybe $200, $300 a month. You know, for example, multi-level marketing offers that. I mean, you would have to work at first, from the beginning, but you have other people working for you, and that's generating that income, and you're getting that once a month. So I think we need to also be in the mindset of doing that and formulating passive income in that regard, where you're not having to physically be present and physically be generating that money. you have other people and other engines working for you, and you're just basically collecting money even when you're sleeping.
All right. There are two things that you just that just brought to mind, and I thank you for your comment. One was something I learned from a good brother, Brother Captain Akil, when he was regional captain of the Mid-Atlantic region of the Nation of Islam. I remember one conversation that I happened to overhear him having, and he was literally instructing some brothers that were paying attention to what he was talking about as it relates to business. He said, you have to have a legitimate hustle. There's that word again, hustle. You got to have a legitimate hustle for every bill or every obligation that you have. And when he said that, that just made so much sense to me. You know, you talk about income streams, multiple income streams, whether it's passive or whatever way it's going to be. The idea, one of the ideas that we have to adopt, pick up, and run with as we move forward into 2013 is setting up alternative and other income streams. Just being dependent on the job is not going to get it. And as I said on previous shows, if you have a client, you have to put something in place because, heck, your client can get sick, lose their job, fall out, die, whatever the case may be. So you can't put all your eggs in one basket. You have to have resources, money coming at you from many different directions. And that is an absolute step in the righteous hustle that we're going to be talking about during this year. That's an advanced step. It's a step that we're going to get to further down the line. But also, I wanted to make sure that people understand an idea and a mindset that I heard very much in prior to 2013, you know, in last year and in previous years. This whole idea that being your own boss means you don't have to work as hard, or being working for yourself means it's going to be somehow easier. Brother Kareem, that's not necessarily the case, right? Just because you say you're going to do it for yourself, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easier, or you know, life is going to get more fun right away, right?
No, sir, let's clear up that fallacy right now.
Right now.
Right now. And I have to refer again back to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, he told us, we were told that if we were blessed enough to have a job, that we were to go on that job and to give that man, you know, or that employer, an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad also made mention of the fact that with the mindset that we had at that time, it was hard, very, very hard for us to work for self, because look how we went and worked on the slave or our former slave master's job.
Mm.
When you start working for yourself, anybody that has the idea of working for themselves or becoming a business owner or self-employed, I will let them know right now, you need to get ready to work and work hard in the beginning. Because in the beginning, as we were talking about earlier, yes, it's starting out as your hustle. And so that means that starting out, for the majority of us, we are the maintainer and the sustainer. So you're going to be in there working. It means that, for example, when I first started in the construction aspect of my businesses, and even today, right now, if I set a job up and I hire somebody to do the job and I've got a time frame on that job, and say somebody gets sick or they don't show up and I have no one in place to do that particular aspect of the job, I'm obligated. I have to get in there and do it myself. So, like I said, let's clear that up right now. No, immediate. Now, of course, as time moves on and as we begin to build these entities and this structure that we're talking about, then, yes, some of the load will come off of you because now you're delegating authority. You got people in position who are now vested in this interest. And so they're looking at it not as you are their employer. You're working together. It's part of what we were taught about pooling our resources. Pooling our resources isn't just putting our money together. As a matter of fact, when you look at the section in Message to the Black Man Economic Blueprint about pooling the resources, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad never even mentions, I think, money, or he mentions it maybe once. What he talks about is the pooling of our mentality, of our talents. And part of that in this business of working for yourself is in coming together is ensuring that everybody in the circle, that their needs are met. Not necessarily their wants, but their needs. In other words, if we're together collectively, operating economically collectively, then that means no one in the circle should have to be concerned whether or not their electric is going to get cut off, whether their gas is going to be on, whether if they have a mortgage, whether the mortgage is going to be paid, because we're pooling our resources to ensure that we all continue to rise.
You know, you just, there's so much that comes out of these conversations. I'm so glad that you are on, brother. I'm so glad that you got the good book in your hand to keep going back to, because there's just such a wealth of information in what we've been given. Here's another two questions I want to put out there. And hopefully more of us can start weighing in and answering these questions. Question number one is, what are my resources? Other than money, because like you said, he didn't say pool your money, although that's something that we should do. But he said pool your resources. So what are the resources that each one of us individually have to offer, to put forward, to put on the table? Because like you said, if there's someone who has a mortgage and a mortgage problem, well, I may not necessarily have a job that I can give them. I may not be able to pay their mortgage, but, gee, what if I happen to have the house that I live in, but I also have another house somewhere else? That's a resource.
Yes, sir.
You know, we got to start thinking along those lines, thinking outside the box and thinking about what we can offer so that we all can begin taking care of each other's needs. That's survival mindset, survival thinking. Also, question number two that I want to put out there for people to ask themselves. Because I just shared the information about having a legitimate hustle to put yourself, to make sure that you have a legitimate hustle for each and every bill or obligation that you have. What, number one, you need to find out what your obligations and what your bills are. There's some people who go from month to month and don't know what it is they have to pay out or pay on. They're just, you know, floating along. But what are your bills and obligations? You know, identify this for yourself. Identify exactly how much needs to go out every month. But also start asking yourself, what can I do to make an extra $100 each month? What can I do that's going to make me bring in an extra $100 every month? We already know that it's not going to drop down out of the sky. We already know that there's no such thing as, you know, you're not going to be a supermodel, even if you are a fly like Sister Gidget. You're not going to, you know, just put your face on Facebook and people start paying you $100,000. It doesn't work that way. So what can you do that's going to bring in an extra $100, an extra $200, extra $1,000 every month? Start putting that type of thinking in mind, okay? A lot of people I know are watching the Redskins now. They're watching whatever other football game is on. Those people know what they're going to do to bring in millions of dollars, okay? You watching them is making them millions of dollars. So let's get ourselves in the habit of, instead of spending our time and resources and energy making other people money, put that energy and time and those resources into how you're going to make money for yourself. Those are two more steps in the righteous hustle. How you like this line dance, Brother Kareem? How you like how it's coming together?
I love how it's coming together, brother, because it's moving in mathematical progression. And I mean, and that's the beauty of it, because we, this again, right now, we are pooling our resources. And we, and I know that word, we bandied that word about this evening quite a bit. And I've also, I know we've also heard it before, but does anybody really know what a resource is? What is the root of the word resource?
See, well, resource is made up of two words. There's re, which means
prefix, which means to do again.
Right.
And
right.
Source comes from the Latin word segere, which means rise.
You got to say that again, brother, because we got some country people listening to the show, and they don't know what you just said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, the word resource, okay, is a combination of the prefix re, which means to do again,
mm-hmm.
and the word source, which comes from the Latin word sergire, which means literally to rise. So resource means rise again. In other words, our resources are something that we can draw upon again and again and again. It's never depleted.
Mm.
Which the word sergire, meaning rise, automatically says it's about upward motion. That's why we were given that word. See, he said, pool your resources. So just as you were just saying, what is it that I have to offer that can help? Like we were discussing earlier in the conversation about moving from being so dependent on this paper dollar. Because honestly, and I'll just say it like this in my opinion, the more dependent we are on this dollar, the more enslaved we get are.
I think you just hit the first home run of the night. That is such an important key point. And that's really what I've been hoping, that at least if we don't get anything else out of this conversation, breaking our dependence on the idea that we do what we do because we have to have money. That's a box that we have to get outside the thinking of. How
yes,
can
sir.
We get what we need even without paper dollars? We need to start thinking of that. Some valuable, as a matter of fact, even though we know that paper dollars, we know that money is part of the engine and the fuel, that if nothing less, we're going to need it to bridge the gap between where we are now in terms of how we get our resources and how we use our resources and where we want to go, which is where eventually we can do what we need to do with our resources without being dependent on the dollar. We know that it's a bridge that's going to carry us from point A to point B. So I was asked, Sister Keisha got off the line, but she also messaged back in that Susu, the idea of pooling resources in the way that many Caribbean and West Indian and even some African and other cultures throughout the world, they make it a point to give up some of that as a resource, that money. They put some of that money in a common community pot that they all agree is going to go towards somebody in the community. It's going to rotate among people in the community, and they do it religiously. They know that there's no mystery God floating out in the sky, so they put their money in a pot, and at the end of that week or month or whatever it is, they give that pot with the money in it to one of the individuals in the community. They give that that 10%. They give that tithe. They put it to work in the name of the Lord
so that they
can benefit the whole. So a susu or a partner, as it's called in some cultures, that's one particular way that we can implement that step, or at least bridge the gap to making sure that we keep ourselves that forward and upward motion going without the limitations and the restrictions that you would normally run into when you're trying to get more money. You utilize the money, and the only reason we are paying attention to the money, the paper dollars, is because it gets us the true and real resources that are going to benefit us and all, and the rest of those that we care about into the future.
that can benefit them and be of greater benefit to our community. Offering apprenticeships, that's another resource that promotes forward and upward motion. If you have knowledge that others can benefit from, then how about taking on an apprentice? How about helping someone else sharpen a skill that's going to make them more viable and able to stand in their community or wherever it is they go? It's going to help them find what of value they have to offer. Apprenticeships, another means and a methodology that we can utilize the resources that we do have in hand to put them to work for us and bring back greater returns than what we can do just on ourselves and on our own. So those are two ideas that we want to also add into the equation that are right in line with what you just said, what we've been reading from the book, and what the theme of tonight really was all about.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Thank you, brother. Absolutely. Thank you so much. We're coming down. This is the time always flies so fast. It's almost 9 o'clock now. We got about 5 more minutes to the show. You have any final thoughts or closing comments?
Yes, sir. I do. Very quickly, I wanted to mention when you talk about apprenticeship or even mentorship, there is a group here in St. Louis. It's Dynasty Hip Hop Incorporated. And these brothers are using hip-hop to actually pull the youth, which is our future, out of the muck and the mire and use something that they like and that they believe in to actually educate them and mentor them into productive citizens.
Mm.
You know, it's a beautiful – I mean, I work with them. As a matter of fact, we're adding a new facet to Dynasty Hip Hop Incorporated, which is going to be an apprenticeship program, anybody that's interested in dealing with it will work through Kareem's construction, and we're going to teach them any skill they want to learn.
Brother, I'm glad that you said that. If you would, let's talk offline, because like I said, we only got a few minutes. I want to get in touch with whoever is running the program. If it's you, then you and I will have the conversation, or put me in touch with whoever else needs to be reached out to, because Freedom Paper Company, again, is a socially responsible business, goes and seeks out organizations and groups and movements like that to pair with, to partner with, and begin to start creating some of that economic freedom movement in terms of doing what is good and what we know will begin to solve some of the problems that we're looking at. I think that's a noble effort, and that's right in line with what we were saying, you know, taking the youth who may or may not have a skill, but sharpening them so that when it's time for them to be up and stand on their own, they have a leg to stand on. We've got to start thinking about passing on generational wealth, but that is thinking about passing on generational wealth beyond just paper dollars. So I'm so glad that you said that. And I love that idea. I certainly want to be involved with that.
Yes, sir. No problem. We'll talk.
All right. Well, that is it. That's the last couple of minutes that we have for the show. I want to thank you all for joining us. Sister Gidget, I know that you're on the line, and I know that you can give us a little insight into the lineup that we have coming for the rest of the week. What do you see on the horizon, Sister?
Well, of course, we're going to be back on Tuesday. We're going to re-air a show that Brother Jihad did about disaster preparedness with Brother Rudolph, because, of course, that's the National Believers Meeting for the Nation of Islam. And on Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar will be back with his hip-hop show. And on Thursday, I will be back, and our topic will be the disconnection between the black man and black woman. And on Saturday, if you missed it yesterday, we launched our new show, Young Gifted in Black. It was a beautiful show. These are our hip-hop artists in the Nation of Islam. So we had Brother Problem 13 and Brother K. Reno and Sister Connie. And so K. Reno and Brother Problem are coming back, and we're having DJ Ron G on there this week. So this is our young people putting their positive and influential, spiritual, uplifting music out, and hopefully we can dominate the mainstream and get the negativity out of the way and promote this music to our children. And next week, we are going to be blessed with Friday Night Study Group with Minister James Muhammad down in Tampa, Florida. So we have a big lineup and hopefully something that will accommodate everyone who listens. So please stay tuned in.